So, you have been living. Let's see, where is this going to be best for both of us? Probably right like that. You mentioned that you married. When did you marry your husband?
1926 in Chicken.
In Chicken. Okay, and then you moved to Kodiak.
In 1927.
Okay. So, that puts you here well before World War II.
Oh, yeah.
And what
year was that?
For what, 40? 41? 40 to 45, right in there, something like that. Mm-hmm. What was it like when you first got to Kodiak?
I think there's about 400 people here.
Mm-hmm. The church?
The church is there, an older one. This is a new one.
Okay. Does this church here look anything like the one that was here before?
No, it's that was an old log building, I think. That burnt down from the ground.
So do you remember the fire?
Pardon?
Do you remember the fire that burnt the church
down? Oh, yeah.
Down?
Yeah. I'm trying to think what year was that. It was that way after the war.
Yeah.
It was in the 40s.
Okay, were you a member of that church?
Oh, yeah, I used to go there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long, was the Russian Orthodox community without a church for a while?
Yeah, they moved into the, where the priest used to live.
Oh, okay.
That's all gone now, too. Just going to relocate to like some kind of a temple or something.
Right.
A square, like, yeah, that, they really fixed it up into church apart.
Yeah.
And it got on fire, too, in a few years. Through the oil heater, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember hearing.
Yeah, it was through that oil heater. It, what happened, the wind was blowing, and the downdraft put it out, and so it just exploded. It was hot, you know. They were having that trouble with it. I remember that.
Yeah. Was there any people there when that happened?
Yes, there was an old priest living there, part of this kind of big place. They were living in the park, but I think some of him got singed his hair and stuff getting out. I remember that, when that whistle blowing, it kept happening around.
Wow. So they haven't really had very good luck with the churches here, but staying away from the fires, it looks like. When you first came to Kodiak, you mentioned that there was about 400 people here.
Yeah, there, between four, maybe a little bit over more in there.
Were, any of the businesses that we have today
crafts,
in Kodiak then?
Crafts.
Crafts were
still? Crafts, yeah.
Okay. And were they located in the same place that they are now? Or?
Well, I think it's just a little bit different. Now it's hard to picture it all because it's so after that big tidal wave, you know. I'm really poor in this, but my husband, could you say what was here and which was there, but I can't do it if you go turn around.
Yeah.
But it's different, it's not on the same spot that I know.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what it was like to be here during the war. I understand that women had to leave the island once Pearl Harbor was attacked.
Yeah, there was a few of them left. Like, I know I used to do some work up at the south where this one family left. And this man was, he was with the Fish and Game, and he traveled a lot way out, all over around the Aleutians and all over. Well, those kind of people, those kind of men, you know, were valuable, really.
Right.
So, he sent his family out. Because it was really kind of scary days that we never know. We had to be all prepared in case of it. There was an air raid, you know, and the alarm would go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of another man, too, that was taken, and then he ended up being really high up in the Navy. He was running those boats, like, long way out, and the mail run boats and all that stuff.
All right.
I knew him, too. His name was... the nickname they called him Squeaky Anderson.
Okay.
I traveled on the boat while he was captain on some of the boats. He was taken too. They put him way up. I don't know what he was at the end. I can't remember, but he was way up.
You say that you were kind of scared in a way about having to prepare.
Oh, yeah, my, in fact, we had made trenches. Well, really, I guess it's just kind of a bank there down below, so my husband made two of them in there for me and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we never did use them. But I had a friend, a lady friend, what her and I did. We rented a little cabin, kind of out in the woods like. And whenever we had a school, we got there. Well, when the harbors bombed, we went out and we stayed about a week out there. And it stayed foggy for 3 days. The fog was so thick.
And where was this?
When the Dutch Harbor was
there, right.
They bombed it.
Where did you go to the cabin?
It's out in the woods, here right in Kodiak.
Okay.
It wasn't all built up like now, it's all
right.
Wooded. So there's a little old man there. I don't know, he had this extra cabin and he was working at the basic, and so we rented from him. So we just rented all summer.
Mm-hmm.
We had scared one evening too, we had to load it, but it wasn't too many times.
Did you have to change the way that you live? I mean, like, I've read in places where you had to turn out your lights at nighttime.
Oh, yeah, we had to. My husband fixed I think he used black tar paper and put frames around them. Oh yeah, we had to close all the windows.
Okay, so what you did have your lights on inside the house,
inside,
it's just
yeah.
That you covered up the windows.
Covered them up.
Okay, and was that a community-wide kind of thing? Everybody.
Oh, everybody. Just all alone. Everybody was all blacked out. And when you walked in the evening with a flashlight too, you had to have more darker light. Then I was halted once with the two. I had two little girls and them all with me. I guess I wasn't very careful. I showed some soldiers coming home. We had an outpost right below me where I lived.
Okay, where did you live here?
It's still right here, but after my husband died, I stayed there alone for 3 years. But I figured that the oil, you know, is really high, and I'm alone. It
makes a pretty
kind of good sized house, and it's expensive. So mm-hmm. I sold it to my daughter, and still down there.
So is it on Matrokin Way?
No, it's not on Matrokin. I don't even know where Matrokin Way is. I've been looking.
And where was that at?
Right downtown, right in the heart of town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just poor on that. I could never just say where this was or where that town was.
But
it was
down.
Right down, right in the middle of town.
Okay.
So I walked all the time.
Did most of the people in town walk during those times? Or?
Yeah, there wasn't too many cars back in the days.
Wasn't a whole lot of roads then, I would imagine.
No, no. Mission Road was the very first road that was built in Kodiak. And sure, narrow too out there, that Mission Road. See, those houses all built up and talking to people do, but the Mission Road is narrow. Dangerous in the evenings walking there.
So we had all this rain here last week. And
yeah.
That was, I guess, pretty unusual. Do you ever remember having mudslides ever on any of these holes around here?
No.
That was the first time. How about, what did you and your family do for entertainment during the war? Did you go outdoors, or did you pretty much stick around the house?
Home all the time. My husband was gone a lot. In the winter time, he trapped the earlier years in Kodiak. He did that for quite a while. And then that was when the long furs, the price was good on them, but it's never been good. I just dropped down and kind of stayed that way. And then he started bear guiding. He was a really good bear guide. I think he's one of the best ones here. He started as just a young boy with his dad, he did that.
Where did he go for his trapping?
Chinia? He had two cabins built out there. I don't know, they were probably what they called his brothers, I guess, to make them out of. And I never did see them, but I've been out once or twice at Chinyak, and I sure like it. I think it's nice out there.
It's real pretty out there.
I like it.
Yeah. And of course, in those times, there wouldn't have been a road that went up to Chinyak.
No, they had to go by He owns Charlie Woody here. I think they used to call them codfish boats, or really good built boats.
Right.
Halibut boats had them. He had that many of them. The one was out for motors, I guess, to sell the travel.
How long would he be gone?
I think he would go in late October. Most of the time, the trapping season opened up in November, something like that. And he would come home for Russian Christmas. He was a Russian. Lots of Russian in him. Come for Russian Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he'd be gone about. Then he'd go back again, you know, the altar again.
You mentioned that he was Russian.
His parents, yeah, they are part of the Russian.
How long was his family from here or Chicken?
No, here.
And were they here
either
for
here,
a long time?
Either here or in Nunavik. Nunavik has a lot of Russian people there.
Right.
He had relatives there.
So, do you know if he had, if his relatives were in the Russian-American company and that the fur traders that came over and pretty much settled this area?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably descended from that. There wasn't a whole lot of Russians in Alaska at the time. I guess there was only about 750 of them at the most.
Yeah.
So, okay, your husband and his trapper. Go out to Chiniac and do his trapping.
Mm-hmm.
What would he do with his furs?
Sold them here to Crafts.
Okay, and Crafts would Crafts ship them out?
I don't know what he did. Ben Crafts. Well, I think at that time his dad was alive too, Ben Crafts.
Mm-hmm.
But then after he was gone, Ben took care of everything.
So the people of Kodiak felt the war, obviously, since Dutch Harbor was bombed
mm-hmm.
and there was military here. Did you ever have any problems getting food?
Well, I think that was okay. I think we, of course, we lived very plain.
Right.
And whenever my husband came in from trucking, he'd all over the. The ducks were nice those days. They had, I don't know, I think now they just eat too much stuff they shouldn't eat. But he'd get those, he'd call them saltwater ducks, and they're fat. Soak them out, I'd soak them out with them roasted, and oh, they were good.
So living the way that you did, you probably didn't miss anything that may have been a shortage up there in the world.
No.
Since you pretty much took care of yourself.
We lived very simple and plain.
That's the way to do it.
I'm still pretty careful.
That's a good virtue. I wish there was
I believe in saving. I wish I could teach it to some of these younger ones. But that's hard.
I guess people's values change a lot. It seems the more advanced the people get, there's so many other things to spend people's money on,
yeah.
Waste their time on, you know, that they kind of forget about just living, you know, they have to keep up with the Joneses and that kind
yeah.
of thing.
I'm so careful that our apartments over there are really small. So I had a little electric oven, and I used it a lot, and I put away my toaster. So I thought I'm going to make toast just like this. I had red cast on, brown cast, and they're really good to work with. So I took a slice of bread, and I don't use butter, it was margarine. Put that on good, put it in that pan, and get it nice and brown. I turn it over, because there's some that's already in the frying pan. Get it browned on both sides, and it's really good. Don't need the toaster.
Did you have in your home during the war? Did you have power, or did you what?
I can't remember now when we got. We were burning wood, but I can't remember now how to turn that person a little bit of oil stove.
Did you have electricity? Or not?
Yeah, we got electricity. There was a little few people that got it. And we were one of them.
So it was kind of a luxury then.
Oh, was it ever? Just a few got it at first.
What would you use for your lighting in your home?
Oh, we had those gasoline lamps, and we had to pump them.
Oh.
She used to handle them. She said, I could never do it now. I'd be afraid, but I did it. So we never had any trouble. And there's some bag, they call them mantles with bags on them, you know.
Yeah.
Then I'd have kerosene lamps for the bedrooms.
Did you ever have any problems with smoke in the house or anything from your lamps?
Well, sometimes through that kerosene lamp, you'd have to trim that little wick, keep it trimmed all the time. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it smoke. Too much of that old burnstuff powder.
Do you remember when the war ended? Did Kodiak celebrate like the rest of the country?
Oh, were we happy. Were we happy. My mother lived right below me. And we knew the good news the day before was really getting good. So I asked her to come up to me and sleep with me up there. And I said, it's getting dark. And I said, I'll go down and check your place down and see how it is. So I went down there. She had an old dog. I don't know whatever made him do that. He was laying, sleeping right in the middle of her bed. So I made him move and let him go on his way. We had some feeling, too, was happy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. This was in the afternoon when we were bored. And my good friend used to live in this area, right up here someplace. So we were all just hugging and jumping and happy and crying and laughing. Because I had two brothers. One was, I think they were both in the army. One was in, was it Germany? He was right where the action was, because he still got bad knees, but he had to stay too long in the foxhole.
Did any of the men from Kodiak not return from the war? Do you remember anybody?
I think they all came back.
Great.
Because, you know, I had a... It was my neighbor. I was washing floors one day and there was a knock on the door. I think it was in the morning. And I opened the door and it was my neighbor. He's from the old country of Norway, Brunstead. But he was just in Fort Lauderdale going to school there. And he said, well, I said, how come you're back? He said, I'm only turned 39. So they let him go at 39.
Your children, did they go to school?
They were going to school all the time.
Where did they go to school?
It was downtown here, the old school.
Mm-hmm. Was it like a one-room school and had all grades in it?
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember it was kind of like that on top. But I could never pinpoint it now. It had been a big tidal wave. There was a big barge, the water went up in there, and there was a big barge went up there with loaded crab, little small boats went clear up below the school. You could just look down at them. There was so much water coming in.
You mentioned the tidal wave. Were you here for the tidal wave?
Oh, yeah, we were here.
Was there an earthquake before the tidal wave?
Well, it was just a few minutes before. That was in 1964, that earthquake. It was on Good Friday. I had been working down the cannery below this cannery, right below us. We worked for about, just over 3 weeks, 10 hours a day with no day off. And this was going to be our first day off in about 3 weeks or over. Emil Martin was the superintendent, and he told us, well, your girls can go home now, you stay home until Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. There was nothing there.
So did you see the tidal wave when it came? Or?
Well, I tell you how, I didn't see too much of it. I turned the radio on right away, and I met my husband coming from his shop there. I could see he was like he's walking on high seas. And he disappeared so fast because he had his little boats down there by the waterfront and had a shed there and he was watching bursting. So I turned the radio on while the rain had set to take to high ground immediately because there would be tidal wave in 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I went looking for him and I couldn't find him. So I took two of the younger boys with me. The older boy, he stayed down because he was older. He was worried about his papa and his grandpa. Didn't want to see him stay around there. But he stayed. And that was really what I saw when I got up to the school. There were so much people there and they were standing up. And I just got a glimpse of this. This was the big one. It was come rolling in. It was just white and foamy. So when in Pitwood Island, that's what saved a lot is these islands. It just broke a big chunk of it off.
Right.
That's what I saw. Mm-hmm. And it was just white and foamy.
You mentioned Wood Island.
Yeah, well, that was Wood Island. That's the one that...
When did they start calling it Woody Island?
I don't know. It was when I came here, they called it Woody.
Okay, was there any settlement out there when you...
Oh, yeah, there was quite a few people there again.
Was there any business going on out there? Was there...
Well, there was the Baptist Mission was there, and they had a church. But I don't... That's at all.
Back in the 1860s, the Russians made ice out there, and they shipped it to San Francisco. I guess there's not a whole lot out there now, but...
If there's any there, there might be two or three families there, I don't know.
How about Muir Island? Is there any settlement right here on Muir Island?
Muir Island? No. But some of the other islands, there was people, there were some people there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, the base. Do you remember a base being out there during World War II?
You mean the base?
The base, the Coast Guard, the Coast Guard base is now. Is there any military out there?
I remember there was construction going on, first there was a building. There was an outfit there, I think it was Seams and Drakes. They were out there doing that building.
Fort Abercrombie was here then. I guess the army post at over by Wenatchee Bay.
What it was right after the war, when the war started, they had outposts all over.
Mm-hmm. Is that the things that we still see in the hills here all over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the bunkers and places like that.
I think there was even soldiers not far from where I lived, because I on Sunday sometime I take a cake or take a salad or something. There would be, I don't know how many boys would be in there, were so many hours.
Were they happy to see you bringing them food?
Oh yeah, I got to know them, a lot of them wrote to me when they left, when they pulled out and left. I'd hear from some of them for a long time. In fact, one of them married my oldest girl.
Oh really?
Yeah, she went, he was here with the, them days they called it, station up on the hill up there. What do they call that? Signal? Now it's all different. He was in that group, Army.
Mm-hmm. Signal Corps?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And when there was telegrams, a boy would come and deliver to the house.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is that how they met?
No. I don't know how she met. Maybe at a dance or I don't know. But after the war, I think he got sent out to ADAC. So after the war, they were married. That's six children, one boy, five girls. And he died quite a while ago.
Yeah. So the community here in Kodiak got along well with the soldiers that were here?
Oh yeah, yeah. They were simply real nice. I really was working with for a long time with those boys in the cleaning plant. They were working there. Well, there was a lot of army to close it, to take care of. There was a lot of soldiers here. There was really a lot of them.
A lot more soldiers than what there would have been people living in the town, you think?
Oh, yes. Oh, there was a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Which you ever see any ships come in here, like Navy ships, things like that, come in Kodiak?
If they came, they came around off the other way.
On the other end. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I did see soldiers. I was working in a restaurant downtown, and they would come in there. That's the time they were going to go to invade Kiska, I guess, huh? Mm-hmm. Poor boys, it's so sad. I tried the best I could to talk to them. They'd come in and cough up, but they were so quiet. But when they went there, everybody was gone. But there was a dog there. There was a dog there.
A lot of the soldiers that came through here, they would then go out into the Aleutians then, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They'd be, what do you call them, transits, huh? Mm-hmm. Every once in a while.
Okay. Let's see. What year were you born?
1908.
Okay. So you were a real little girl in 1912.
Yeah.
So do you remember anyone that had anything to do with the volcano when it exploded and covered the island?
I don't know. We never... Chignica didn't get anything out of it.
Didn't have any effect in Chignica?
No. I think... After I was getting to be pretty big, I remember one year, it was during the winter, we had just a little ash fall there, just a little. That's all I can remember.
So and Chignik's not a real long way away from Kodiak. It's just mm-hmm. across the peninsula over
yeah.
there.
I made a trip over there about 6 years ago, after I hadn't been there for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
things changed?
A little bit, yeah.
But not a whole lot over 50 years, though.
Yeah, they had fixed it so they could go on preps in the can, really. Got a little road in there, got a little airport.
Yeah,
I got up early in the morning, and the weather was real nice going in. They told me, oh, you're on road. Everything's so different. I said, yeah, but the memories are still there.
Right.
I should drive going in.
Yeah, they'll never leave.
My husband and I, we were married at sea. We were married by a captain. See, there was nobody there to marry people years ago. Priests would come once a year. I don't know why they decided to get married. I was only 18.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little older than me, but I should have known better. But he liked to talk about it. Oh, he would like to talk about it, especially when he got a drink or two on it. And I'd run away. I felt bad about it at first, as young as I was. Captain married us in a Norwegian guy.
Mm.
That's how they do it. Yeah. Gotta be on the road, they gotta be at sea.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say to the girls, I don't like that idea. And they say, oh, they thought it was quite romantic to do it like that. But you know, we got married over again.
Where did you get married again?
When the priest came there, my husband told him that we got married. Now he said, you better get married in the church.
Mm.
So was your husband's idea to get married at sea?
Both of us, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So that priest would come once a year?
Just once a year, yeah.
How many weddings would he do?
Well, there probably wouldn't be too many. And I can remember years and years ago that they called it a floating port. There would be a Navy boat ship come into Chitnik. I can remember just one of that. And there was, I think there was about two weddings. See, there was a lot of Scandinavian people around Chicago, and you know, getting their, you know, citizen papers. So they call it the floating court. The judge and all of them would come there and they'd do it in the schoolhouse.
Did they do, mention that they did weddings, did they do criminal cases also? Did they?
I don't know. As far as I know, there was never out of any trouble like that down in Chitney.
And it's pretty much a fishing community?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the priest would come once a year.
Once a year.
How long did he stay when he came that one
He wouldn't stay too long. He'd just wait for the return of the boat. So there'd be this one boat I don't know where it would be, its headquarters, it would be Seward maybe. It had gone on up to Abib, the harbor. They'd stop and check it both ways.
So he would, was there a church in Chernik?
Oh yeah.
Who would conduct the services then when the priest wasn't?
Oh, there was always somebody there.
Uh-huh.
They're really just a reader, you know.
Right.
But that church there, right down in the Anchor Theater, main part of Chernik, that's down. But they have built up other little churches way up past the lagoon, you know, up into the first and second lakes up there.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm starting to draw a blank as to any more questions to bother you with. It is, it's great. I think that's it as far as my questions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a half hour of your time is great. I really, really
appreciate it. I forgot to tell you that when we first came to Kodiak, there was no...
So you mentioned that when you first came to Kodiak, there were no cars. And there was only one car on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any cars in Chernik when you left there?
No.
What did you... So when did you see your first car?
Here in Kodiak.
That was the first car?
Yeah, and then after a few years, I think it started somebody, I remember, had a truck. Yeah.
So, I was just wondering, when was the first time you took a ride in a car?
Well, it was in the Model T car, because he was married to my husband's sister.
Mm-hmm.
So he would come in here midnight on the old steamer Star, dark at night, and so we stayed up there, and my husband did have a place built for us, a really brand new building, two bedrooms and kitchen, built but wasn't finished on the inside. So he took us on the next morning down to the place. Seemed big to me after the village.
Like that.
How did you come from Chernik over here?
We came on the boat that was running then.
Is it a regular transportation type boat?
It was a reconditioned, a good sized halibut boat built up. It had it run a long time. And the same captain that married us, Ole Johansson, Norwegian. He was captain on it.
Was there a lot of Norwegian fishermen up here?
Yes. Halibut boat came in here all the time. God, I don't know where she gets them from.
The daughter gave you these?
Yes, she gave them all to you.
Beautiful.
And she's the one that moved up here and left, and she felt better.
Mm.
She's a good painter too.
Mm.
You know, she's been gone too long, and just, I don't know.
But do you get to see her often? Do you get to visit her?
No, I don't go out all the time, but I used to go out every day. And I think about it all the time. I wonder if they tear that down.
Oh,
it's a nice one.
So a lot of places got torn down after the tidal wave.
Yeah, urban renewal.
Did that go over?
They didn't get down to where we were in Mission Road. They never got to it. It's just here in town.
How did that set the people that lived here? Was there a lot of things that got torn down that people thought should
A lot have? Of them were unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't give a lot of them much either.
Mm. That's sad.
Yeah.
So what all did you do as work from the time that you got to Kodiak till the time that you stopped working?
Well, when I first got here, I had to stay home and take care of little ones.
Mm-hmm.
We had that one girl, she was 11 years old when we came. So after 2 years, I had another one, 2 months at 3. I didn't start working until the youngest girl was 6.
Mm-hmm.
That was rough. Down at the cannery, there's all the wisdom days, this cannery to work. And it's down at the city dock, that's where we had a walk. Oh, that was rough.
So what did you do there at the cannery?
Well, first I was on a patching table, and I couldn't do that. The fish made me sick. I like to eat fish and stuff, but made me sick. I cried it for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked a friend, and I told him that I just can't do that work. It's making me sick all the time.
Right.
So he said, I'll move in a warehouse. And they didn't get much pay. On the fish table was $1.60 an hour. So when I got into the warehouse, it was $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I worked in a restaurant. And all during the war, before the war and after, I worked at the cleaning. A lot of soldiers are working there. I picked up a lot of Spanish too, but I think I forgot a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's easy to learn, seem like.
Where did you pick it up from?
From those boys. Yeah. We had one in there that I really think he was a tailor. You know, he was always grafting, making patterns. Johnny Pirate. There's a lot of them were Spanish.
And then after the dry cleaning, what did you do?
After that, I was working all the time. I worked some in the hospital. Well, that's after the earthquake. I worked in the old health center now. That was a hospital. I worked there for 7 years. I think I worked at the school 7 years. I had problems, and I had to quit it. You know. I was over. Thyroid was over. I was bad. I couldn't sit still. So I had to go to Seattle and get taken care of.
And then you didn't work after that, right?
Oh, yeah, I worked some more after that. Yeah. They gave me radioactive iodide. They could put you when you're done with it. And now I wouldn't take it. But I was warm, you know, and I couldn't sit still. I had to be doing something all the time. So it's over. And the doctor, my main doctor, told me, he said, you're not going to notice anything for about 2 weeks. I cut all the sleeves off of my clothes because I was so warm. And sure enough, I was reaching for sweaters in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, we made a difference out of it. So I'm not at okay. Sometimes as old as I am, I think I'm still just busy all the time.
That's good.
I stay up until midnight.
Yeah.
I'm making stuff for here, for the bazaar.
Uh-huh.
And I'm making stuff for our church. And I hope the pioneers of Alaska don't sell the bazaar because that would be too much.
What time do you get up?
Get up about 7 in the morning.
Well, you do keep present.
Yeah. All kinds of baby things. There's a big bazaar here. I gave it to the center I made.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. And we had a big project going in there. I ended up working there all by myself. So I thought I'm going to fold it up and put it away until after Christmas. It's a crazy club. It's interesting. The squares are 12 by 12. And then you put in all shapes and forms of pieces in there, you know. And then after you got them all on, and then you make all kinds of stitches on them.
Oh, it sounds pretty.
Yeah. After Christmas, we'll come back.
Okay,
Ann.
Well, I've taken almost an hour of your time.
That's okay, I like it. Thanks.
Yeah.